Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gym right here in Baltimore.
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gym right here in Baltimore.
Double your pleasure with that one. All right, everybody, welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am joined by my good, close, personal friend, Couture. How you doing, Couture?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. It's all kind of a funny story. I was going to do a podcast tonight, originally, with Oriental Heat. We were going to do a podcast. And I set up a Blog Talk Radio account, all that stuff. But for some reason, I had it set to European. So when I was going to do the podcast with him, it ended up like I was at work still. And it just started. And, of course, it didn't record it. And so that didn't happen. And I came home and I was like, and I was really in the mood to do a podcast. I was like, oh, man. So I called up my good friend, Contreras. And I was like, hey, Contreras, you want to do a podcast tonight? And he's like, why not? So that's what happened, and here we are again because we scheduled to do one Sunday, but hey, we missed last week. So we're making up for last week, and we're going to do the show this week. So that's the kind of motherfuckers that we are. I have a story
about
that.
Yeah, we're doing two shows in about 3 days. So
yes, one time I was delivering a pizza, Couture, and this guy, drunk off his ass, answered the door, okay? And he was at like his friend's house. It wasn't his house. And they had a credit card receipt, and they signed the credit card receipt and gave me, like, a $5 tip or something. And then the guy, like, drunk off his ass, just handed me a 20. And I was like, oh, what's this for? He's like, here, that's an extra tip. And I was like, wow, thanks. And he's like, yeah, that's the kind of motherfucker that I am. And I will never forget that for as long as I live, because it's just such
a... You work at Domino's, right?
Yes, I do.
They're fast at Domino's.
I was
there for the first time the other day from Domino's, first time in like maybe 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
And so I ordered it on the internet, so I got the little thing where you can track like if it's just going in the oven or
the Domino's pizza tracker. Yes.
Yeah. So I said, well, I wanted to get the pizza ordered, so as soon as I got the pizza ordered, got the confirmation email and everything, I was gonna jump in the shower and yeah, take me about a quick 10-minute shower, and there was
I hate when people do that. Go ahead.
And then as soon as I got out of the shower, about 10 minutes later, it's already out for delivery. And then about 10 minutes later, the dude drove up and said, "Shit, that'd be embarrassing."
Yeah, well, the whole story with Domino's was I worked there. My cousin owns the stores like in my area. He owns 3 different stores. And I got laid off. I worked for a company called Landstar. It's a trucking company. And I got laid off saying I needed a job. So he's like, hey, you can come deliver for me. And I was like, sure, you know, why not? So I went there and started delivering while I was laid off. And I started making like pretty good money, like delivering pizzas, because I would work the day shifts. And I'd work all day long and, you know, take, you know, 20, 30 deliveries. And, you know, you got to think, you know, that's tips over and over and over, so it was pretty good money. So then when Landstar called me back to come back to the company, I actually was like, no, I think I'll stay here. So I've been doing that, and it's helping me. So going back to school, I have an easier schedule to deal with, so that's what I've been doing. It's actually pretty great. I actually like doing this. It's pretty cool.
We got a caller on the line, so let's take this call, okay?
Okay, let's do it.
Area code 631, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Sky Kid. I figured I'd call you guys for tonight's second part, so.
Oh, how you doing? How you doing?
What's going on, man?
I'm doing very well. It's a Thursday night, and I figured I'd continue on with our little discussion of the Rhodes Clan from last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say.
And I'm very excited. 2 weeks ago, it's like 11 days. So we're
week and a half.
We sure are.
And I can't wait. And in the words of Michael Cole, I can't wait to discuss Kofi Rhodes.
Kofi Rhodes.
Oh.
that was That was so awful.
That's stuff like that happens. You never know. You know, like things like that happen. When I'm speaking, I have a big problem with, you know, talking over myself and stuff like that. I do it all the time, too. You know, I'm a dumbass.
Oh,
but
oh, don't worry.
He's a professional.
Yeah. Well, at least he's not Craig.
Craig from Craig Proper?
Yes. Oh, don't get me started on that.
Craig would have thought that was his actual name. We messed with Craig a little bit because he's not too good on the history of wrestling when we ask him questions, and he thought Rick Martel and Tom Zink were Strike Force.
Oh man!
And he thought Tom Zink was an AWA champion.
Oh no, that's Rick Martel. Well, see,
yeah.
He's friends with Brian, and Brian, as much as I love the guy, he's not very good at wrestling. For who Brian is and how much money he makes for doing this, you'd think he'd know a lot more about wrestling history.
Didn't know the rules of the Elimination Chamber.
No, he did not know that. We've only watched it. I mean, there's literally enough Elimination Chambers that they were able to make a DVD about it. Just that match, over and over and over. They had enough footage of that particular match to do that over and over and over. Did not know the rules.
It was like that one tape of Barry Horowitz, one match he won in Global that he sold for $59.99.
That's right.
So I'm currently looking at my aquarium, and I must say I do not have nearly as nice of an aquarium as Doc G. My aquarium is not bad at all. I finally have about, I don't know, 15 fish in there now. It is such a great aquarium. But let's move on to the Dusty Rhodes talk, or the Rhodes family talk. All right, so last week we talked about Dusty and his influence essentially on wrestling in general and you know how important he was. Like, overall, he was an asset to wrestling in general because he had ideas, and his ideas, like, some of them were bad, but everybody has some bad ideas. I mean, Vince McMahon, who is essentially like the king of wrestling, he's had quite a few bad ideas, but Dusty had some good ones, and I think that the good outweigh the bad. But I think the best thing that Dusty did was, you know, fuck the women to make his sons, because those sons are just so, they're great. Where we left off, we were talking about Goldust. And Goldust eventually had, like, a substance abuse problem. I think we were starting with that, or we were discussing it a little bit, but who cares, we can go over it again. And he left the WWE because he had gained a bit of weight, too. He left the WWE in about, 99?
Yeah, 99, and he went back to WCW.
And then he went back to WCW. Yeah, and there's a footage, like, on that Dusty DVD, that I finally watched that, of them reuniting, and it's cool because, like, Dusty and Dustin had a falling out, and it lasted for, you know, a good 5-6 years where they didn't speak at all. And there's, like, a story on there where Cody's actually talking about how, you know, there was a span where he's growing up, and you got to think, at the age Cody was, he was young, and he didn't get to see his brother at all. So he kind of grew up without his brother, you know, his older brother, and it was pretty sad to see, because, like, you know, like 5 years when you, like, say age, you know, 10 to 15, that's like a big part of growing up, those years, and it's pretty sad that, you know, he had to be without, you know, his brother who could teach him and stuff. And Goldust actually recently wrote a very bad book. It was actually called Crossroads, which is kind of funny, but it's called Crossroads, and it's his biography, and it's pretty short, doesn't really go into detail at all, and just the way he explains stories just weren't very good, and there are parts of stuff that he would talk about that really bummed me out, because I guess. When Cody was first breaking into wrestling, Dustin was down there training, and he was, I guess, really, really rough with him. point of where, you know, he made his brother cry. And, like, I was seeing on Twitter, and some people were, you know, had little excerpts of the book, and they were just saying, you know, ha-ha, Cody cried, blah, 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 blah. But I think Dusty was, or not Dusty, sorry, Dustin was just kind of being extra hard on his brother to prove that, hey, I'm not going to give him an easy road. But I don't know, I kind of thought that was shitty. That's his brother. I mean, what do you think, Jer?
I haven't read the book, but I don't know.
Sometimes I haven't
people in wrestling are. They do that, even with their families. You know?
It's crazy. I mean, but the whole thing is like, I know for a fact that I've, like, you know, I have siblings, and, like, my little sister, you know, I love her to death, but there's so many times where I've, you know, I don't know, like, when we were younger, I would, you know, just push her down or something, or trip her, just, you know, hit her in the face with a pillow, you know what I mean, just
yeah.
Being a brother thing. So, but, and as a matter of fact, I kind of still do funny things like that, you know, just, you know, constantly make fun of my siblings. It's just what you do. You know, it's part of life. So,
and sometimes I go up to my sister and just punch her dead in the back just to do it. And I'm 38 years old.
So, sometimes
it's
I think it'll be funny, and I douse my whole family in gasoline and I just light them all on fire. I'm like, ha ha ha. Because, you know, that's just, it's part of life. No, but seriously, like, It's just crazy hearing those stories, because it's just like when you look at someone like the Rhodes family, and I mean, obviously there's fucked up families in wrestling. You hear the stories of the Hart family and the Von Erichs, obviously. I mean, there's just like really fucked up shit. Like the Hart family, we should do a show about the Hart family. But the
Hart family's more of a family that's had bad shit happen to them.
It's more bad luck.
I wouldn't even say bad luck. I mean, Owen. I mean, how would it be even be misconstrued as bad luck? I mean, Owen passing away, that's bad luck. But I mean, when their brother died, like of like a liver failure or whatever, that was,
oh,
that was more. Yeah, Dean, that was more of him being a fuck up than anything. I mean, you know, when it's like kidneys or something. I don't know, but when he wasn't doing his, you know, his treatments and stuff like that, he wasn't going to the doctor that he needed to go to. So the fact that he died, that's not really a shock.
That's,
you know,
just negligence.
That is.
Well, I just mean, like, Brett getting kicked in the head, Brett having a, wrecking his bike and having a stroke, Owen dying, stuff like that, bad luck.
Yeah, and then there's the whole how Helen passed away, which is, like, directly because of September 11th, because of, well, indirectly, I guess. Not directly. She wasn't on, you know, she wasn't on the plane that crashed into the towers. The story is that she had medicine in her bags, and there was a layover for her flight because of all the security, and she missed the flight. And because of that, she got really sick and in turn eventually died. So, I mean, that's crazy.
I never heard
of
that before.
Yeah, I believe it's in Brett's book. Go ahead.
Yeah, I actually bought the book like recently on Christmas on iBooks on my iPad, so it's a good read.
I've actually read that book quite a few times. It's really long. It's a multi-shitter book. I mean, like it'll take you a good 10 to 15 shits to get done with it. But like it's really good though. I mean, like, it goes into detail. I mean, we'll get to Bret Hart whenever we do a Hart family thing. But like the thing with Goldust going back to WCW is that whole run he had there was just a complete flop. I mean,
yeah. Only thing I really liked at the end was when the company ended, him and Dusty were teaming against Jarrett and Ric Flair. I thought that was pretty good stuff.
Oh,
that was awesome.
That was
probably the
great.
Only good thing on the
that
show.
That was great. And the dying days of WCW, like, people don't really remember, but the last, like, 2 to 3 weeks of WCW was actually not that bad.
Wasn't Johnny
Eaton was booking? I can't remember if he was booking or if he was just an agent.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was just an agent. Like, it's kind
Buddy
of
and Bischoff
kind of
smoking for that stuff the last few weeks because he was expecting to take over.
But you know,
speaking of Johnny Axe, like the cool thing about or like how all that worked out is, or the funny thing I guess I'll say, is like it's almost all of the WCW staff that is like that owns wrestling now between TNA and WWE. All those guys were WCW staffers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, all those guys either came from WCW. I mean, like, look, like Johnny Ace is the head of talent relations. The gorilla position, that's Billy Kidman. The agents, Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko. Fifth Finley was one. It's just, and then TNA, we got Bischoff, we got Hogan, we had Russo,
Borash.
We had Jerry
yep.
Borash and Bob Ryder.
Mike Tenay and all those guys.
Mike Tenay. Like, I mean, there's not really that many. I mean, Ricky Steamboat was a WCW guy, but, like, or, I mean, the only outsider, I guess, would be, like, Road Dogg. I mean, as an agent, at least.
Yeah. Norman Smiley's
in
SCW.
Yes. Yes, Steve Kern.
Steve Morse is tough enough, you know, just this last season.
Yes, exactly. It's just, I mean, it's nuts that WCW, which everybody looks at as such a failure, is just like such an influence. It's such like, I mean, an influence overall on wrestling in general. That's pretty nuts to me. Like,
it's one of those you don't know what you got till it's gone type of things.
Well, not even that, because I knew what we had. I never looked at it that way. I was always a much bigger WCW fan.
Well, I kind of say it that way because I live in New York, so New York actually is kind of like the home base for the Fed here, and you know, I really didn't.
Fed.
Oh well, I'm sorry. The old. It could be worse. I could call it New York when it's not really from New York.
God. I hate when people
do that.
What? New York? The Fed?
When they call it.
I'm going to work for Vince.
You shouldn't call it the E.
Yeah, the E. Yeah.
Or the we, or as I call it, the wee wee.
Oh God.
I
don't know, man.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
No, you said that you were from New York, so.
Oh yeah. I didn't get WCW till like 94, so. But I mean, when I got it, like in the good, like right when it was gonna be, when it was starting to get good, when they got all like the luchadors and the Japanese guys, and it was like a whole new way of watching it, because this was all new to me, like all these new styles, like you get used to one style, but like I don't know, it's kind of like when you prepare a meal a certain different way and it sort of tastes better than the other.
Yeah.
Well, I was always
a W, not so much later on. I was more of WCW back when they were NWA, like starting about 85 on through, I guess maybe 93. Kind of when you started to really see the WWF influence in WCW. It's the product started kind of go down. I just decided, well, I'd rather watch real WWF than the bad production WWF here in WCW, so
I
became more fan of WWF at the time.
I was different, Contreras. Like, I mean, I loved all that stuff. Like, you know, I started watching 89, 90, WCW, but as much as I liked that early stuff much, much better, I still didn't mind necessarily. It looked really bad around 98, which, speaking of, Katrina and I were talking about this off air before about how WCW, like 98, it's so depressing to talk about because it's such a great company. And I was like, that's probably the reason we had such a long layoff, is because like it's, I mean, if we were talking about 92 WCW, there's no way that would have been such a layoff, because I was literally and I'm sure you feel the same way. I was like literally waiting every week for us to get to another episode because we were having such a good time. Sometimes we were filming or we were recording two shows a week because we were having such a good time with it. And but now we're in 98 and it's just like, oh God, why? You know, how many Glacier versus Goldberg matches can there be? You know, and it's really too many.
From 98 on, it's really bad stuff. I mean, there's some good stuff in there, don't get me wrong, but mostly, until the company dies, it's bad stuff, I think.
Yeah, but there's people that I loved in WCW that, like, WWF just never really had, like, because they only had Luger for, WWF only had Luger from, like, 93 to 95, and I'm a huge Luger fan. I mean, as soon as you accept Lex Luger for what he is, I mean, the sooner you could just love the guy. I mean, was he a muscle guy that gives two shits about what wrestling actually is? And, you know, he looked at it for what it was, and it's a business. And that's what he did. He kept a good body. He did the best he could in the ring. I never thought Luger was lazy. I never thought he was like, you know, he didn't get fat and have shitty matches. I mean, Luger always kept himself in shape. You know, he didn't – was he Dean Malenko in the ring? Was he Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels? No. But he was better than Goldberg. He was better than, you know, the great Khali or Kozlov or, you know, the list goes on with the Heidenreich and the big goofs that WWE's used. But, like, Luger was
also... He was able to work with, like, some of the best in the world that could, you know, hide his weaknesses. You know, like, I don't know how many times he worked, but Flair always made him look good.
Oh, Ricky Steamboat.
Steamboat, Barry Windham.
And there's guys that I was actually talking with a buddy at work today about Chris Jericho and CM Punk are having a match at WrestleMania, and he's like, "What do you think about that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, CM Punk and Chris Jericho are both good wrestlers, but I don't think either of them are great wrestlers. I think they'll have a good match; it'll be good enough." But both of them can have great matches with people that are great. Like, you know, if one of them wrestled Shawn Michaels, you know, they can have a great match with them. But Chris Jericho, like in the past, I think, five years probably, has just gone down for me as a wrestler. Like, I just, you know, he just does nothing for me. And CM Punk, while he's, you know, he's good on the microphone and, you know, I think he has good matches, but I don't think he's – I wouldn't put him as a great wrestler at all. I mean, I like the guy. I don't think he's great, and I don't think that them having a match at WrestleMania is lighting the world on fire. I would rather see, you know, someone else step in that spot. But same with – I'm more excited about the Daniel Bryan and Sheamus match, to be honest. But Luger was just a good wrestler. I always thought of him as just good. I mean, he wasn't great.
I agree.
But he had charisma. He had, you know, the look. His promos weren't that bad. And the most important thing that he had that a lot of wrestlers do not have is presence. Like, when Lex Luger came out, God, I mean, Contreras, you know, Sky Kid, you guys know what I'm talking about?
He kind of had, like, whenever you saw him walk out, it was like you knew he was a star. Like, just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should go back and see his run in WCW, like, in 1989 when he was a heel after he turned on Ricky Steamboat. This is, like, probably the best work of his career.
I have that. I have the WCW Rise and Fall DVD, and, yeah, that match was pretty awesome.
Oh, tremendous. Just tremendous stuff. But let's go with the Rhodes family. We're delaying this even more.
Yeah.
We just Contreras, honestly, that's how we do this. We always start to talk about something and then I always segue because I have ADD. And then eventually we're just talking about like how I really liked Big Josh's cut off flannel shirt. It just always just goes completely somewhere else.
Hey, I'm guilty of the same thing. I'm guilty of the same thing myself.
So we have
Dustin.
So, yeah, Dustin, you know, he comes back. You know, he's had such a great career. And when he comes back again after his disastrous run in TNA and his drug problem and getting cleaned up, his
Black Rain.
Black Rain.
That's terrible.
His first night back, you know, that we see, it's inducting his dad into the Hall of Fame. And I remember watching that, and he's there with his brother, Cody. And I had heard about Cody Rhodes before, that he had signed. You know, you read it in the dirt sheets. You know, he signed, but I'd never seen him before. Well, actually I had. I saw pictures of him. I was like, he looks a lot like Matt Sydal, Evan Bourne. Like, I remember when I saw it, like, because they have similar, like, it's not so much anymore, because Cody's grown a lot, like, the past, you know, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. Like, he just looks different a bit. He's put on quite a bit of mass. Yeah. So, because he was so skinny when he was in OVW.
First saw him, but you didn't realize it back, like, in 93 with that birthday party with Shockmaster, with all those kids.
Yeah.
And I just recently watched the 95 Slamboree with him at the Hall of Fame for Dusty.
Oh, really? I didn't notice he was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Hmm.
But so, and everybody on the board knows about the whole, you know, me with Cody thing, but I'm going to go ahead and explain it and why I have taken such a liking to him. That very first night at the Hall of Fame, I mean, literally his speaking ability, I was like, wow. Because I was impressed because, I mean, he spoke really clearly and really, like, kept the attention of everybody there. And Dustin was there, and Dustin kind of just let him talk because, like, this was, like, his breakout way of shining. You know, like, hey, look, you know, I'm going to let him talk and, you know, make a name for himself. And I really think he did that. I mean, Couture, do you remember that?
I think they got him called up a lot earlier, that Hall of Fame thing.
Yes. So then he starts – Cody started with – and I'm not going to lie, I wasn't – at the very beginning, I was just like, oh, you know, I just looked at him as a guy. He was teaming up with Hardcore Holly. He had some matches with Hardcore Holly, and then he teamed with Hardcore Holly. And I was like, what the? Why is he with Hardcore Holly? Hardcore Holly is such a fucking piece of shit. And then I was looking at, then when he started teaming up with Ted DiBiase, everybody would talk about how Ted DiBiase was the star of the team. And I always noticed that, Cody was the workhorse of the team, and that's why I think there's such a difference now between the work ethic of Cody and the work ethic of Ted and where they are in their respective careers right now. Because
Cody kind of leapfrogged over him, it seems like.
Oh, he did, because it's – all right, I'll just ask you, Couture, do you think in 5 years Cody will still be with the WWE in a bigger spot? Or do you think he'll just be in the exact same spot?
In 5 years, with the way guys are now, I'm pretty sure he will be. And I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if maybe whenever they have the match this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see him win Money in the Bank match this year.
I think, this is like, you're probably going to be shocked by me saying this, if they do have Money in the Bank. I don't think it would be Cody unless something goes awry with Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I was going to say Ziggler would be the other guy I would choose, but neither one of those guys.
As much as I like Cody, Dolph Ziggler is just, at this point in time, just a level above him when it comes to work and when it comes to character, when it comes to, I mean, everything right now. Dolph's got him beat right now. But I mean, don't get me wrong, Cody's up there, and he's ready to be at the level. I think they both are. Because there's so many different feuds that, like, could be interesting, you know, giving them a chance. Because Dolph Ziggler, I mean, all right, Cody, too. When I see, like, The Miz or Alberto Del Rio, those fuckers, neither of them are as good as Cody or as Dolph Ziggler, and especially Dolph Ziggler. I mean, it's to see The Miz higher up on the card than Dolph Ziggler is sickening to me because he's shit. I mean, in comparison,
the only reason I like The Miz
shit.
Is because I used to watch all that Real World shit, so I just like seeing him on there as a world champion.
Yeah, he was the only reason I ever watched The Real World.
Oh, why? The Real World 3 in Seattle with Puck and Pedro, who had AIDS. That was a good season, man. I think it was like 94 or something like that. Oh, that was a good one. But the thing with The Miz is, like, he's... And I don't think it's just the booking. He's fallen off a lot in 12 months. I mean, just gone downhill.
I think the reason is because he's really good when you send him, like, out in public and stuff like that. I think that's one of the main reasons he has the spot he has.
But do you think Dolph or Cody could handle themselves in a public situation? Because I think they could.
I think Cody could more than Dolph.
Oh,
Cody
yeah.
Cody comes across,
yeah.
like, very intelligent.
He's a college graduate, I believe, and he's also, well, so is Dolph, I guess.
I watched him on the Food Network when they were doing some kind of, where they were making WWE cakes. Did you ever see that?
Yes, I watched that one. And he was really good on there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he carried himself like a star, and Dolph does, too. Like, I've met both of them in two different occasions. I met Cody at Access, and I met Dolph at Access, too. But I also met Dolph, and Dolph was, like, completely shit-faced at Hooters. And, man, he was awesome. He was a really cool dude. Like, and he carried himself well. But this was Dolph, you know, right before WrestleMania 26. So, or not 26.
25.
No. Was 26 in Arizona?
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah, it was right before WrestleMania 26. So he was much lower on the card at the point, and boy, he was just such a cool dude, and like sat and talked with us, and he was just a nice guy. But like Cody at Access, everybody kind of gets pushed along in lines or whatever. But I explained to him, I was like, yeah, man, like I have a Cody sign for WrestleMania, and he's like, don't let them take it away. Please, just don't. And I had like a team, Team Cody shirt that I got made, and he like signed it. He's like, yeah, awesome. And he was like a cool, like, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but like he was like such a like a nice guy, you know, about, you know, not thinking I'm a creep. He probably did, but whatever. But like, you know, just, it was cool because at that point he was just a Legacy, and he was like the bottom member of Legacy. So it's probably cool that he had a fan, you know what I mean? Like a, someone that, like, took the time, you know, to, you know, make him feel like he's, you know, a star. Because to me, at the time, like, Cody, like, do you remember the, speaking of Dusty and the Rose family, do you remember when Dusty was the guest general manager on Raw? Do you remember that?
Is that the one where he turned on John Cena?
Yes, it was.
Where he says there's nothing a father wouldn't do for his son, and then Legacy jumped John Cena or something.
Yes, and then Orton gave him the RKO.
Yeah.
And then Cody, like, flipped his shit, okay? And he's like, you know, why would you do that to my dad? You know what I mean? Like, and he was like, in the crowd as the show went off, was literally chanting Cody, and I was like thinking, like, this just happened with Ted DiBiase, and they did the same thing. Like, you know, you could go either way, and they just completely screwed that up. Because both of those guys could have been, you know, like more of a babyface. The thing with both Dolph and Cody is neither of them have had a babyface turn. And I don't know how that would go for either of those guys.
I can't see Dolph as a face, to be honest.
He reminds me of 1992 Shawn Michaels. 92, 93 Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels eventually went face. And he was fine. He was the same guy. He went face. Randy Orton, same guy, one face. Anybody could do it. It's just how it works out. Because,
yeah.
You know, because like Mark Henry. Mark Henry cannot be a baby face. He's just not. He's a jolly big black guy. But that doesn't work. That doesn't work. That whole thing just doesn't work. It's not something that, you know, people want to see, people want to go, you know, are going to buy tickets for. But I think both Cody and Dolph, they might be able to. I don't know. I mean, it's very obvious that he's the next guy. I mean, I'm talking about Dolph more than Cody, but I think Cody can be the guy if they, I mean, him or Dolph having a run with Cena would be good. It'd be good television. I'd much rather see him.
He wasn't sold on Cody until he got knee pads.
Oh, I wish he didn't get those knee pads.
Oh God.
But when he did get them, like I don't know how is that wellness plan right now? Is that still a thing?
I don't know. He was looking pretty good a couple of months back.
Remember how he was getting pretty big? He is pretty big right now.
He's getting really real.
What do you guys think about the direction they may go with Big Show and Cody? How do you feel about that?
To be honest, I'd rather see Cody and Goldust at WrestleMania.
Me too.
Because that was what some of the talk was going to be about. Just because it sounds like it's a perfect match to WrestleMania. You got a good story there, but Cody and the Big Show, I like the stuff he's been doing when he came out the other night and showed the Aki Bono footage. And and clearly to me it's setting up for Big Show to get the big WrestleMania win, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess weren't they gonna do Big Show versus Shaq, and I guess it's falling through now.
That's what I've heard. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know the story either. Yeah,
but it just seems like they're leading up to Cody and Big Show at WrestleMania.
I'm sorry.
I said it just seems like they're leading up to Cody and Big Show at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah. I mean, this could be a whole, you know, a big thing. You know, like a big swerve, because they kind of do stuff like that. Maybe the money wasn't right. Maybe, you know, maybe they just wanted to give him a win and Shaq didn't want to put him over. I mean, you never know. Because he's never won at WrestleMania. And I don't
want to... Well, he has won at one WrestleMania.
He has?
Yeah, when he and Kane were tag team champions, they beat, like, Chris Masters and Carlito 1 year.
Wow,
yeah,
I don't even remember
that. I was there
live. It was one in Chicago.
Cody's first WrestleMania was WrestleMania 26, and he lost to Orton. And at WrestleMania 27, he beat Rey Mysterio. So WrestleMania 28, I just think that him and Dolph should both be winning at WrestleMania. I think.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
But at the same time, when it comes to Big Show, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Big Show.
I've always liked
he brings something to the show. Yeah, like he brings something to the show. He's different. He's not like Great Khali. He can work. He's not like Kane. He can work. I kind of want to go on a rant about Kane real fast. Kane has needed to retire for, I would say, 2.5-3 years. But the whole thing is like, see, as like being like a smart wrestling fan, have you ever noticed, do you guys ever go to live events?
He gets the biggest pop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's actually like a, people like to watch him. Because there's the hillbillies and the... And, like, you know, the idiots. I mean, like, there's you know, a guy at work.
There's a whole culture of fans out there that are, like, the Hardy fans, like, fucking worship Kane and The Undertaker.
Yes. That's it. And, like I said, there's a guy I work with, like I said, hopefully he's not listening, where I think he thinks wrestling is real. And, like, he makes... you know, statements about, you know, wrestling possibly being real, or, you know, this guy can't beat this guy. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like that. I do. I know that there are people out there that are...
Does he also believe that the moon landing is fixed?
No. No, some people just, I mean, they believe what wrestling is. When I first met my wife, this is a funny story. When I first met my wife, I was watching a UFC show, and she thought MMA was fake. She thought it was just like wrestling. I was like, no, they're really fighting in there. Because she's like, oh, that looks real. And I was like, what? Like, you know, and we were just dating like a couple weeks, and I was like, what do you mean it looked real? She's like, yeah, it looks so real. I was like, it is real. It's they're fighting in that cage. And she's like, no, you can't do that. She's like thinking about that Tipper Gore stuff or whatever from, or, you know, whatever his name is.
John McCain.
John McCain stuff from back in 1997 or whatever. Like, she thought it was still illegal. And this was like in 2008, I think. And she's, like, all that time that went by, and she just didn't, I mean, she obviously wasn't a fan. She's a girl. She'd rather watch Little Mermaid or, you know, some shitty vampire show. No matter what it is, she'll watch it, involving any sort of vampire. But, like, you know, stuff like that, like, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me how this, like, how there's so, like, a huge group of fans that, you know, don't know that wrestling is, you know, that it's like a work sport, or, you know, like, or there's the people that no matter what, because of that same way, like, when I was at the Royal Rumble, there's a guy on the board named Slick Rick, okay, and he met me there. He met my wife and I there at the show, and we're sitting in line, and it was Jericho was still doing his like, you know, you don't know what side he's on. Is he good? Is he bad? What's going on? So we're talking with these two hillbillies, and they were Southern shit. And we're talking with them, and they're just talking about, you know, who's good, who's bad, and like, it's based on whoever they're told is good, and whoever they're told is bad is bad. Like, of course, they're like, yeah, Daniel Bryan is boring. You know, of course, as Michael Cole's been telling everybody for 6 months that he's boring. And he's like, the Big Show, that was an accident. You know, she shouldn't have been out there. Like, he's actually explaining to me that she shouldn't have been out there because she didn't have a manager's license. Which is like, who thinks of this shit, you know? And I was like, you know what? I looked at Slick Rick from the board, Ricky, and I was like, you know, this is actually the gauge that I'm going to know. And I was like, so what do you think of Chris Jericho? Because you didn't know at the time what that he was. He's like, well, I like him now, but he seems like he might be getting cocky, so I don't know if I'm going to like him. We're going to wait and see. So, like, I'm like, wow, these are who WWE are going for. This is the fan that they're going for. Is this these two complete, you know, idiots that know nothing about the world and will do anything that is told that they're supposed to do. But it's just interesting how that works out. That, I don't know, I thought it was... Have you guys ever ran into a situation like that?
I can't remember last time I did. It's been years, probably.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Because I remember I used to go to IWA Mid-South shows all the time. Okay, and... like in Highland, Indiana, and Juliet, Illinois, and stuff like that. And they had a lot of good indie talent at the time. This was like 2004, and they had like a lot of guys that I was really into. CM Punk, Chris Hero, Colt Cabana, Brian Danielson, Matt Sydal, Delirious, all those guys were there at the time. And it was great, Samoa Joe, and they're all like wrestling in these shows. And I'll never forget, one of the biggest crowds they ever had was for the Road Dogg. And, like, there were so many people there for that show, for the Road Dogg. And, like, then there'd be a show with, like, all these indie guys. And, like, you know, they're the best wrestlers out. But no one cared. But then Billy Gunn got released, and they brought in Billy Gunn. Once again, so many people there for Billy Gunn. I mean, WWE TV makes a world of difference. Makes a complete world of difference when it comes to, like, who is a star, who isn't. No one cares about anybody in TNA, unless they were originally in WWE. No one cares about Ring of Honor and all that stuff. It's just, if you come off that TV, you're the biggest star in the world. If you, Contreras, is there any local indies in your area?
Not that I know of.
Because we have some really bad ones.
Sure, I'm here in Dallas. I'm sure there's some around somewhere. I don't kind of really go for the indie wrestling stuff, to be honest with you.
How far away do you live from Ed now? From Ed now?
He's in San Antonio. I don't know how far it is. Maybe about 5 hours or so.
Oh man, yeah, I'm going down to Columbus, Ohio, next weekend. Yeah, actually, this weekend I'll be able to do a show, but we'll have to work something out because next weekend I'll be down in Ohio. Because I'm going to watch, like, an MMA fight, the Strike Force girls fight. It's like Ronda Rousey versus Misha Tate.
Ooh.
And Crumbly's going to be down there. I'm going to meet up with Crumbly and guys like that. They're pretty cool guys. Have you ever met Ed before?
Me? Yeah, I met him once. He came here for UFC.
How was that?
I don't know. I didn't go to the fucking thing. I don't watch MMA.
No, I meant how was your meeting with Ed?
No, it's fine. He sold me some weed.
Oh.
The only reason I'm hitting.
That is so funny. Oh man.
I had to make
you
me
know,
a pipe out of a Coke can. I had to look up on the internet how to do that. So
that is so freaking funny.
We got a couple of phone calls here, so I'm gonna run through them real quick, okay?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, do you want, like, Sky Kid, is it okay if we let you go so we can get one of these other phone calls? That
right? Yeah, sure.
All right.
I appreciate
you calling,
guys.
All right. Okay, thanks, Sky Kid. Okay, area code 603. Who's this? I'm sorry you're on hold so long.
Ah, Sinbad, Contreras, it's Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle!
Hey, Dick Trickle.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. I've had a fun time listening to you for the last, 15 minutes or so. But question for you, specifically you, Sinbad, because I know this is very, very close to your heart. We already know that Cody is better than Dustin. I mean, that's obvious. Do you think, though, that Cody has already eclipsed his father in greatness?
Actually, right now, the year 2012... late February, I don't think that Cody has even eclipsed his brother yet. And I definitely do not think he's eclipsed his father. And here's why. I think Dustin has eclipsed his father when it comes to... Dustin, don't get me wrong, he's a legend. But Dustin has had such longevity, and he's been such... like an asset to wrestling in general for such a long period of time. And you got to think of my wrestling viewing life. Like I told Contreras, I started watching 89, 90. When did Dustin come on the scene?
Around that time.
Yes, so around that time. So that entire time, he's been there. And he's, you know, and my favorite gimmick or character that he ever was the natural Dustin Rhodes when he first started. So Cody is still in that, the natural phase for me, because he's still coming up, he's still having great matches, but yeah, like that's the thing. Cody's awesome, and he is great, and he's my favorite wrestler right now. My favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels, as I mentioned 1,000 times, but Cody right now is my favorite wrestler. Do I think Dolph is in a better position right now? Yes, I do. And I love Dolph Ziggler, but Cody's still my favorite. And we're going to see where he goes and, you know, what happens with all this stuff, you know? But it's, I don't know. I do not think, so no, I do not think he's eclipsed. And I have a Dick Trickle story for everybody. We go to a Dragon Gate USA show, okay? And I meet Dick Trickle. And it was the week that there was like an older African American male on American Idol, and he sang the song "Pants on the Ground," and it was just like the song was just so stupid. And it was just like "Pants on the Ground, Pants on the Ground." What, how does it go? Do you remember it all?
Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground, with your gold
yeah,
in your mouth.
Like a fool. Yes. So we're in the middle of like spring match, and it's not even boring. It's like two young Dragon Gate USA wrestlers trying to like get the crowd going, and out of nowhere you hear, and I knew it was Dick Turtle because I'd met him earlier the night for the first time, and all of a sudden just like I hear really loud, "Pants on the ground, pants on the ground," and people actually started clapping and cheering and singing along with him. So that was like my best Dragon Gate USA experience in history of time was that. Also, I met Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. That was also pretty cool. So not actual Dragon Gate, but those experiences, you know, with Dick Trickle and the King and JR, those were pretty much the only good things.
That that got a bigger pop than the time when I went to see Ring of Honor the week Heath Ledger died, and someone got slammed on a dive to the outside, and I stood up and yelled, "He got killed worse than Heath Ledger." And, oh, boo, boo, too soon.
Oh, God. See, with me and death stuff like that, there's no such thing as too soon. It's funny instantly. It's funny instantly. Like, there was a joke going around, like, it was, like, last week or something, like, what's 6 inches and didn't get sucked on Valentine's Day? And people were like, oh, what? And it's, like, Whitney Houston's crack pipe, which I died laughing at. So, you know, who cares about tech? We don't need it. We don't need it. But, yeah,
I agree.
Yes, I appreciate you calling in, Dick. It was good talking to you. We need to talk, catch up soon.
Yep, you're the man.
All right. Contreras, you said is there someone else on the line or is this?
Yeah, let's go to area code 323. Who's this? Hello.
Hello. Someone has stage fright. They're afraid to talk to us.
Okay, two callers. Fell off the air. Maybe I pushed the wrong button. I don't know.
Oh, gosh. All right, well, if you're listening, 323, go ahead and call back in. You know, it'll be fine. But we're not doing the Battle Bowl today. We'll start off the next show because we just did this on 20 minutes notice. We will open the next show with Battle Bowl. How do you want to do that? We kind of discussed that I would draw half of them, and then the opponents would be your half. And how are we going to decide who wins? As a matter of fact, we will discuss and break down every single match and who will win and why, and then we'll advance the Battle Bowl, and we will pick, as bookers, we will decide who's the winner of Battle Bowl and why.
Yeah, we'll go through. We'll pull the names and we'll set the matches up, and then we'll book the finishes.
Yes. That's gonna be great fun, Contreras. I really, really look forward to that. Oh gosh, is that something you ever? People know that I've done the whole. I did the FSM. I tried my hand in booking. Was that something you ever wanted to do?
No, because I'm too critical of other people's booking that I don't want to fail.
Yeah, like kind of like that Dave Meltzer thing. Just because, like, I love Dave. I think, you know, I think he's good, and you know he's critical, but nobody's perfect.
Brian would throw out an idea, and I said, and you criticize Vince Russo, because your idea was like way worse than anything Vince Russo came up with.
Yeah. I will discuss Brian, okay? I like Brian. I consider Brian a friend. We get along very well. But, like, when it comes to wrestling, like, it's Brian and Lance. I would actually like to get Lance on the show so I can go back and forth with him pretty soon, actually. Because I want him to talk about, like, it seems like the past couple of weeks, and I know you're a friend of Lance's, but like the past mm-hmm. couple of weeks, like he's been so down on wrestling. Like he's been so down and wants everything to be so serious to where, I mean, you have to agree with me that there has to be a medium, don't you think, of what's fun and what's serious? Because he doesn't want everything to be so
quite
serious.
Honestly, I'm at a point where nothing in the wrestling business bothers me at all. You know, I see people getting all outraged and offended on the board, which most of it's bullshit. It's just people wanting to bitch about something. But,
yeah,
I mean, nothing bothers
me. Bitch.
Yeah. I mean, really nothing bothers me. I'm not going to sit here and worry about this didn't get enough buys or with the rating. I don't give a shit about the rating or how many people buy the fucking pay-per-views, to be honest. I just care about if I'm
watching. That is why I think you and I get along.
Yeah. I mean, people just complain about, like, you know, you'll have your fucking Triple H thread, and then I'll just go in there and, like, just post a picture of a baby crying or something like that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I do the same thing.
Because
why complain? I mean, what does that get you? Like, I always, I listen to that Colt Cabana podcast. I don't know if you ever heard it before. It's called The Art of Wrestling. And he talks about how CM Punk, like, forwarded him an email that said, like, from Lanny Poffo. And it said, you could either get on the happy bus or get on the sad bus. And I really, like, I swear, I, like, took that to heart. And it's the truth. You could either be happy or just complain, you know? Like, I use that, like, I've actually used that, like, in personal life experiences. Like if my wife and I fight, like, you know, we'll get an argument about something, and then after, like, 10 seconds, I'm over it, because, you know, I don't want to argue.
Yeah.
And, like, if she's still mad, I'll just say, like, you know, you can either be happy right now, we can have, like, a good time and, like, talk and just forget about whatever we're fighting about, or we could fight and you could be mad at me right now. And, like, normally that's the end of it, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense, because it's just dumb to just be, like, to be negative, because I want to keep, like, negativity out of my life. And when it comes to wrestling, like, wrestling is something fun to me. It's, like, it's a pleasure of mine. Like, I like turning on wrestling. I like watching it. I like, you know, like, the whole, I like to play devil's advocate all the time. So, like, with the whole, like, stuff with Nick Diaz went down, and, you know, they talk about Nick Diaz every week, you know, blah, blah, blah. The dude smoked a little pot. Who cares? He got caught with it. That's fine. Who fucking cares? It does not need to take up, like, I swear, here would be, like, an episode of Wrestling Observer, okay? All right, welcome to Wrestling Observer. I'm Brian Alvarez, and we're with Dave Meltzer. Vince McMahon died today, but first, Nick Diaz, day 95 of his suspension, he said on Twitter, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's always MMA getting, like, the forefront of the coverage, and it's like, you know, there are wrestling fans out there, and I like wrestling, and that's what I think Dave and Brian's big problem is they want everything to be like MMA, and it's not that way. That's why wrestling doesn't bother me at all. It's like, you know,
what do they like about wrestling is, like, the wackiness in it.
Yes, like, yes. Oh, God, that is, I mean, like, it's fun. It is fun. I had so much fun on the Night of Elimination Chamber when Santino's sitting there in the ring, like, you know, and Daniel Bryan smiles, like, ha, I only have Santino left. And Santino, like, I swear I was rooting for him. Excuse me, I was rooting for him. So, I mean, like, it's stuff like that, you know, I just really, really want, you know, people to be positive about wrestling and positive about, that's what we do here. That's the reason we do this show, is because we enjoy wrestling so much that we like to talk about it for an hour, hour and a half a week. And then that's it. That's, you know, like, we're doing this. We're not making any money right now. We're not, you know, doing anything to be benefited from this. Like, what we're doing is we're doing this because we like to talk about this stuff. We like to talk about.
Hey, real quick, we've got about 45 seconds of live air time. Why don't you tell them about the Sunday show?
All right, everybody. We have a show this Sunday night, 10:30 Central Standard Time. I will be ranting, of course. I told Contreras why, and I'm going to save that for that night. We're going to be talking about 1998 WCW, we're going back to business. We're going to do our Battle Bowl drawing, and I will have an announcement regarding another show that we're going to be doing on this thing bi-weekly, so I'll explain that too. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Kerr and I are going to talk for a few more minutes, so keep listening if you are listening to the download. Because we had a half-hour notice, I'm sure that you probably are listening to the download, so just keep on listening. But the whole thing with, what do you think of Santino, Couture?
I like Santino. You know, the stuff the other night, I mean, the Elimination Chamber stuff, I thought that was, like, some of the best stuff I've seen, like, in quite a few months. You know, the most heat from the crowd, at least. I mean, I thought that was awesome.
He gets a pop coming out. He's over it. He sells merchandise. I don't understand what the problem is with him. I mean, he might have screwed it up on Raw when he landed on Wade Barrett's arm, and it just sucks. It sucks that things like that will just completely ruin your career. You know what I mean?
It's like when they complain how they portrayed Zack Ryder. Okay, it's great. Zack Ryder got himself over. You know, he got on the internet. I can't take him seriously, so I don't care how they portray him. He promoted and marketed himself as a geek and a loser on his show. That's how they're going to book him. Sorry. I mean, I don't want to see Zack Ryder in a world title main event, because I for that stuff to be a little bit more serious. Even though I'd like the Santino thing, but that was like a match with six other guys, so you can throw a little comedy in there. So I'm not sitting on that. The whole Zack Ryder thing, I just don't get it.
I honestly think, and like this might just be me being, you know, a hopeful guy, if they built up Santino for something like that and gave him a title shot on the pay-per-view, I really think people could get behind it if they booked it right. If they did that, I mean, even if they didn't, you know, I still think of it like the vignettes, like at Elimination Chamber, those are so fun. That's like a fun thing to do. And then booking him, like, you know, like, say he wins a battle royal or something, he's going to get a title shot at some, you know, shit pay-per-view. Whatever, they could build it up and, like, people will get behind him and it'll work. And I think it'll be fun. We need more stuff like that. We need, you know, just
like to me, Zach, with Zack Ryder, it's like he's like a human what champ. You know, people are going to chant his name because it's the end thing to do. He's going to sell some T-shirts, but I mean, I don't know if anybody really cares how far he goes.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody really does. I know I don't. I just think it's just, you know, with Santino, you know, everybody's cheering for Santino, but if he wins, like, the world title, it's like, then he'll probably turn into Ronnie Garvin. People say, oh, this is terrible, you know?
Yeah.
The comedy guy win the world title, something like that. That's just the way I think, I guess.
Yeah, and it probably would be like that, and, you know, you never – but the difference between Santino and Zach is Santino started off as a babyface. And then he went heel because he's acting so ridiculous. But then when he went face, he got himself over to the extreme. And now he's been off TV. He got in a car accident. He was off TV for a long period of time. And now he's back. And he's just getting such huge pops. And people genuinely like the guy. I always gauge, you know, and I've talked about this before when I was just dating my wife, like, on what she likes is what I think is what the common person would like, you know? Like, she likes, like, Santino. She loves Santino. She likes Shawn Michaels. She likes The Big Show. She doesn't like Kane. I think that she's biased because I don't like Kane, like, a lot. But, like, I mean, like, things like that, like, because she's just the common eye. It's just, you know, it's just the everyday person that looks at things, and Santino and Hornswoggle make her laugh. So she likes them. But it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Speaking of, what do you think of the whole Natalya farting thing? It doesn't bother me. I don't care.
I don't I don't really watch SmackDown. I think the first thing I saw of that was it on the pay-per-view?
Yes, it was on the pay-per-view. Hornswoggle asked Natalya to cut his cheese for him. Like, haha, cut the cheese joke. But, you know, whatever.
I don't know, that's just too stupid for me to be mad about.
Yes, exactly.
I don't care.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, there was a point where I didn't find it very funny, and I was like, oh, whatever. But, like, even at 29 years old, like, if I'm hanging out with my buddies and one of my buddies, you know, tears ass loudly, I'm going to laugh probably for the rest of my life at something like that. So, you know, something funny like that, it's going to be funny. So I was there's a part where she, you know, like she farted, and then as she's walking away, they had a sound effect of her like running away, and it was still like, meow, meow. Like noises like that, and I genuinely laughed very loud at that, and I was like, I cannot believe that I let myself laugh that hard at that. But you know what, it happened, so that's fine. That is fine. So finishing off like the Rhodes family that we covered about 5 minutes of in the show. This is false advertisement of the TNA pay per view, but like. I mean, they really did.
Next time in the
description,
put card subject to change.
Yeah. But no, the whole thing with the Rhodes family is I really think that they're one of the most influential families in wrestling history based on 3 out of 3. You know what I mean? They are 3 out of 3. And that's something that, like, the Hart family. I mean, Stu was a celebrity in that area, but he wasn't like a national star. Owen was a mid card act, you know, upper mid card, but still mid card. And Brett was a main eventer. So of that family, you know, and all the other guys were just, you know, they were low card guys, didn't even make it in the big time. The Von Erichs. What do we have? David was a star.
Kerry was
time.
A star.
Kerry was the biggest star. I mean, overall.
Yeah.
I mean, and Kevin
was a big star.
And Kevin was a big star, but not to the level of where Kerry eventually went. If Kevin would have followed Kerry to NWA or the WWF, I think Kevin could have been something big because. Like, his style of wrestling was awesome.
I never cared much for him.
For
Kevin. And he just looked like he was, because you could just ask people who he was in the ring with. He was just stiff as hell all the time. You know, I don't know. I never cared much for his style.
For some of that. Yeah, but, like, he wasn't that big of a guy, so I think maybe that's why he took liberty. But the thing is, like, he would whip on them, but they're, I mean, he took some beatings.
Yeah.
I mean, they would beat his ass, too, so I thought that made for good
matches.
He looked
stupid out there with no shoes, with no boots on.
And that was his thing.
I always thought that looked dumb.
I mean, can you imagine how terrifying that would be to, like, be in a ring with people with boots? Because toes are so freaking. Have you ever stubbed your toe? I mean, just stubbing it. It hurts like a
motherfucker. Where'd I get staph infection or something?
Yeah, oh, God. Especially those freaking drug-addled world-class rings. This is freaking... It's like AIDS blood and heroin needles and stuff, like under the ring.
I saw a wrestling show back in, like, the late 80s or something. You know, some redneck place. I'm going to walk through there barefoot?
Yes, exactly.
Going through the shittiest bar and then walking barefoot in one of those shitty bathrooms they have. Ugh.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because I know in my drinking days, I would have no problem when I was in the bar just pissing towards the toilet. I don't know if I hit it or not, but, you know, a lot of people are like that, too.
I could understand when the Samoans didn't have no boots on because that kind of fit with the image and stuff like that, but, Kevin, I never got that.
Oh, God. So this is fun, Katrin. This is a nice little segue from normal life, just, you know, doing an extra show, killing a couple hours. So this is
pretty
cool.
Hey, are you going to WrestleMania this year?
I actually am not. I cannot afford it this year. I bought a house in November.
Okay.
My wife and I did. So, like, you know, that took out, like, a big chunk of the savings and, you know, getting everything ready for the house. And we got to, like, there's a lot of stuff I still need. Like, I got to buy a lawnmower and, you know, just, like, little things that you have to do when setting up. So I can't afford it. So instead we went to the Royal Rumble.
Housewarming party.
Huh?
People give you stuff. Have a housewarming party.
Yeah, we did. We did, and we didn't get that much. Definitely not a lawnmower. So I got to get a lawnmower and just little stupid things, you know. I have every intention of building a koi pond in the spring in my backyard. And so that's going to be
oh,
awesome,
really?
Too. Yeah, are you going to WrestleMania?
No. I was hopeful I was going to come here next year, but we got shut out, so.
Yeah, like, most likely I would have gone, because there's no way in hell I'm going to the shitty East Coast to go watch WrestleMania. There's no way I'm going to go there. It's horrible. Yeah, I should make, Sky Kid, if you're listening to this, I just want you to know that I hate everything east of Ohio. It's just horrible. It doesn't belong in the United States. That's not my United States. All right, so we better cut this off because I'm starting to lose my voice. I worked all day. So I will talk to you on Sunday, Contreras. We will do another show, and it's been a good time.
I'll send you half of those Battle Bowl names, and then we can figure it out.
All right, yeah, and don't forget, everybody, we're going to be drawing those names, and we will hopefully get to WCW 98. I have no idea how long this Battle Bowl list will take, but it's going to be a good time. So, all right, we will talk to everybody on Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you then. All right, see you guys.
See you, bye.